You feel as if you've been keeping up with all this history so far?
Mostly. Burgoyne and Radazel and a whole British fleet are heading to Ticonderoga on the lake, which is somewhere to our left. But I feel like we're driving deeper into the woods.
We're still going parallel to Lake Champlain, not to worry.
And General Howe, who doesn't know his geography, is planning to go to Philly first and then meet up with Burgoyne in Albany.
And the other guy, the deputy.
Brevetted General St. Ledger is also headed to Albany from the west along the Mohawk.
And they gotta get to Albany no matter what. What I don't know is what the plan is when they reach Fort Ticonderoga. You make it sound like pretty tough territory. Are they prepared?
You're thinking ahead, kid. Listen to what Wasmas said about Fort Ticonderoga.
There were insurmountable defenses. Large fortifications, an army of 60,000 men, not counting their fleet on Lake Champlain.
Whoa!
Terrible news. If all of this is true, our small army will have very little effect and not get very far.
What are they gonna do? It says here Burgoyne only has 8,000 men.
Wasmas had been hearing rumors. We now know there weren't 60,000 men at Ticonderoga. There were probably more like 3,000 rebels, but the accounts vary. More importantly, the fort had a reputation that it was hard to be overtaken by an enemy.
So why is the reputation of Fort Ticonderoga so intimidating?
Well, during the French and Indian War, it was the French-held Fort Carillon. In 1758, about 20 years before Burgoyne's campaign, 4,000 French soldiers successfully defended the fort against an attack by 16,000 British soldiers. Burgoyne had his work cut out for him. He needed to prepare for a siege.
What exactly is a siege?
A siege is when you cut off a city or fortress from the outside world and attempt to penetrate the defenses. You either starve them out or fight until they surrender.
Can he do it with 8,000 men?
Historians have called Burgoyne's force the best equipped army that had ever landed on the continent, and with the finest train of artillery known to the times. And he also had auxiliary troops.
You mean he had backup?
Burgoyne's original plan called for 16,000 troops, but he was only provided 8,000 regular troops. Burgoyne had to depend on Carleton to raise the remainder of auxiliaries of Canadian militia, American loyalists, and Indians.
Oh, the loyalists, the former soldiers King George gave land to after the French and Indian War.
Yep, the American loyalists were probably the most dependable because they knew the landscape of this region and could follow orders. But many of the French Canadians and Indians had fought against the British, so Burgoyne wondered how he could trust them. The Indians in particular were a troubling factor for Burgoyne. He knew that they were difficult to control.
Yes, I can imagine it was hard to command an army with people that were your enemies just a few years before.
Among Burgoyne's men were several hundred Indians from various tribes.
I don't understand. So why were the Indians involved in all of this?
Well, during the French and Indian War, Indians were employed by both the French and British armies to lead raids on the frontier communities and prevent settlement in borderlands between the two colonies. See, the Indians were fierce warriors, and the colonists learned to fear them. But once the war was over, the Indians lost their French allies and were at a disadvantage. The colonists took the opportunity to push westward. This stirred up costly conflicts that the king wished to avoid. So he set up boundaries to prevent westward expansion.
I bet the colonists were pushy.
Yes, but when the Revolutionary War hit, it was really difficult for the Indians to understand. One nation split into two sides was very confusing to them.
You mean like a civil war?
It's a matter of perspective. To the Brits, it was a civil war, but to the Americans, it was a revolution. If the British had won the war, it would have gone down in the history books as a civil war. All of the colonists were subjects to the crown. This was countrymen against countrymen, if not neighbor against neighbor.
I guess I hadn't thought of it that way before. I suppose if I were one of the Indians, I would side with the British who wanted peace rather than the colonists who would want to take my land.
Both England and the colonists put the pressure on the Indians to take sides. The Indians were divided. Some supported the Americans, but a majority supported the British.
So how many troops did Burgoyne have altogether?
Again, accounts vary, but close to 10,000. But he's got a job ahead of him trying to clearly communicate his plans to a variety of Indian tribes and nations.